in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. And Stephen, well done. Sometimes we need to hear something we don't like that we could be wrong. And we need to take care of ourselves. And a good marriage is a beautiful thing to build. It's worth all the work you put into it. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for so many blessings. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the comfort and the confidence that it gives us. We thank you for the promises that you have laid out for us. And Lord, as we trust them, they give us peace and grace. And we need them in these times. You know the hearts of everyone that's here and everyone that's listening to my voice. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. Help me, Lord, to explain thy word clearly and simply. And I ask you, Lord, to bless your word to our hearts and lives. Anyone here that's not saved, I pray they would be saved. They would call upon you and trust you, put confidence in you, have you to be their righteousness and their salvation. We pray to the Lord that you just simply bless your word as it goes out. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, if you will. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Just read the first four verses, first of all. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his will. Let's pray. Lord, bless your word. Touch hearts and lives today. Give me freedom and ease. In Jesus' name, amen. We need to pray. You need to ask God to do something for you. And by the way, Stephen, that was very good. I appreciated that. Marriage is a good work, and it brings great blessings. But it's a hard work because it deals with yourself. And so I thought that everything that was done, if you didn't hear Stephen's message, then you ought to get it and take heed to it. How shall we escape? Escape from what? Hell. How about that? How shall we escape from hell? How shall we escape from sin? Can't escape from death, can you? So how are we going to escape? How are we going to escape the problem that we are? I don't know about you, but I'm a sinner. I don't know about you, but I've got weaknesses. I don't know about you, but I have temptations. I don't know about you, but I don't like diets. I don't know about you, but I don't like a whole lot of things. But you know something? We're going to face all of our decisions. They all come around. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what you think, no matter what's happened up until now, you know what you're going to do? You're going to face the decisions you've made and the circumstances that you have created. And by the grace of God, you need a way to escape. You know, death is coming. Now, it seems like it hasn't quite caught up with me yet. I'm going to be 85 next month, the Lord willing. Otherwise, if the Lord gives me a promotion, I'll take that early. That'd be fine. But you know something? There's death coming. And death coming, death is an enemy. It has been an enemy for a long time. It keeps us from doing certain things. And it hangs over our head all the time. You listen to the news and there's death and death and death and car wrecks and young people racing motorcycles and cars and all the thrills that come around, you know. But sooner or later, some of it has to be paid for. So you have to be careful because your consequence comes. Actions in life bring consequences. So, as Stephen was bringing out about for the marriage, it brings consequences too. And what great consequence is a good marriage? What a beautiful thing it is to have a good marriage. Now, a prophet speaks to man from God. A priest speaks to God for man. Now, these are all men. And being men, they're sinners. And being sinners, they're weak. And they're selfish. And sometimes they're good and sometimes they're bad. I've had doctors that way. I've had some doctors that were... I didn't have much to do with doctors until after I was 50. But at 50, I found out I was a diabetic. I didn't know it. I went blind. I was out visiting one night. And I could not read the street signs. So it was going to be an awful hard time finding that house. And so I got up the next day and went to see an optometrist. This was the guy who was actually a student I had in school, and he'd become an optometrist, and I was using him as my optometrist. And I went to see him, and he examined my eyes, and he said, "Oh, I can't help you. You're going to need an ophthalmologist." He said, "I know a real good one." I said, "That's great. Give me his name." And I went to the man, and he said, "You got diabetes." And diabetes is caused cataracts, fast-growing cataracts. I was 50 years old, and I was blind. But they cut the cataract off of the left eye, and then amazingly, you're amazingly made. This one eye is good, this one is still bad, and they look like they're perfect together. Lasted 13 years before I had to get the other one done. But by the way, I got introduced to a bunch of different doctors that way. Some of them bad and some of them good. Just because the guy has a DD behind his name doesn't mean he's a great preacher. Just because he has a PhD doesn't mean he has a brain in his head. It just meant he passed a bunch of college courses. And some people can do that and not have the brains to get in out of the rain. You understand? It's true. That's the absolute truth. I have had some good ones and I've had some bad ones. Good night. I've had some that are very effective and some that were ineffective. The Bible says Jesus, and what he's talking about in here, is a great high priest. And I want to talk to you today about that great high priest and the great salvation that he's brought that comes and brings about great grace. Beautiful things in this book of Hebrews. Now, the book of Hebrews may fool you a little bit when you first read it, because what Paul is doing here is he is comparing modern Christianity by Jesus Christ to the Old Testament religion and the religion of the Jews. It was the right religion. It was the religion that Jesus Christ came from, and he became the Savior. But it was not the end all. It was not the everything it should be. And he's going to compare Christianity, modern Christianity, to the shadow of things in heaven, which Moses saw. And this great salvation in Jesus Christ in New Testament brings great mercy. Great grace. Grace means something you don't deserve. I want to tell you something. As somebody sitting in this room may think you deserve salvation, but you're mistaken. There's not any of us that deserve salvation. If you don't know what we deserve hell. We're not very good. Even when we brag on ourselves, we're not very good. And we need some help in the way of forgiveness. Now, I have lived long enough to outlive a bunch of my doctor's ministries. I've had some of them for 25 or 30 years, and they actually retired on me, and I had to get a guy with pimples on his face with a doctor's degree, you know? And I just don't have a little confidence, very much confidence in some of these young guys. Now, they probably know a whole lot more than the other guys did.
I don't doubt it. But at any rate, what happened to these doctors? They got old. What happened to me? I got old. You're getting old. Some of you are past me, Marianne. Man alive, 93 years old. I heard about a World War II vet from Austin that was 112. Yeah, how about that? At any rate, where is the weakness of the law? Here we say Jesus in 2:9, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Now what do we have in the Old Testament? Well, what we have is a bunch of sacrifices of animals and animal blood. And these, some of the people in Jesus' time thought that was the ultimate religion. And it was, until Jesus established Christianity by his own death upon the cross of Calvary, tasting death for every man. Can you imagine? It's beyond imagination. Look at all the religions of the world, and even a whole lot of Christianity. And most of it is good little boys go to heaven and bad little boys go to hell. So you want to try to be good little boys. The problem is there aren't any good little boys the way I read it. I read everybody's a sinner. I read that you were a sinner. I don't care how high an opinion you have of yourself. God doesn't have that high of any of opinion of you. Now, Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then, we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but when is all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16. Let us come therefore. Because we've got such a high priest as we have, as described in the New Testament, let us come boldly. Some of you may think you need to come a different way, but boldly just simply means you walk into the presence and say, wow, I need help. If you're going to an emergency room, you don't go in and make sure your tie is just right and your clothes are just right and everything like that. You got pain and you need some help, and you're very bold in going in and asking for help. That's the way you need to come to God. You need to come to God boldly, because he said he invited sinners. He came for sinners. Find boldly so you could obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's called the throne of grace. It's not the throne of judgment. It's not the throne of, it's the throne of Christ. It's the throne of blessing and grace. And what is grace? It's the favor that God gives you that you don't deserve. Now, many of us, some of it, in fact, I've met a few people. I've been preaching over 64 years. I've talked to an awful lot of people in my life. And I have met people that don't think they're sinners. Don't think they need to pay for anything. Don't believe they've ever made a mistake. Somehow, they're fooled in one way or another. Everybody, all have sinned, this Bible says. Come short of the glory of God. Now here we have this New Testament, this new religion, this new salvation. All great and different. He said, come boldly under that throne of grace to find him. Now, what happened to all those doctors that I had and I liked for 20 or 25 years? They got old. They got old. They retired. Or they died. What happens to the great priest? Say you've got a great priest, a real man that really wants to go to God for you. And there's an awful lot of people out there from professing to be a priest that can get you in contact with God. Well, they die. Eli died. Samuel died. David died. John the Baptist died, greatest prophet. They all died. Now, what does Jesus have? Well, he has the power of an endless life. Look at Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 16. Talking about Jesus as being this great high priest, he's made not after the law of a carnal commandment, like a human commandment that the certain family of Levi would be the priest. But what is his power? The power of an endless life. Amen. How about that? You got a priest that's not going to die. Amen. You got a priest that knows everything. You got a priest that is, by the way, the Son of God, who is the judge of all. Amen. Wow. How about that? He's the Son. And by the way, he's a lawyer. He's a lawyer. And we're in the judgment of God with Jesus Christ being our lawyer. That is a better religion than I ever heard out of any other territory, any other religion. Now, he has the power of an endless life, because the Bible says in verse 17, you're a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is the priest that Abraham paid a tithe of all of the spoils of the war that he fought. And he's was the leader, the king of Jerusalem, Salem. Jesus comes with the power of an endless life and becomes a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now what we have, verse 18 of Hebrews 7, there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and the unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh to God. If you could keep the law, it wouldn't make you perfect. The law didn't bring in perfection. You read the Ten Commandments, you read the law, the first five books of Moses in the Bible. Go ahead and follow it. It won't get you salvation. It really won't get you forgiveness of sins. Did you know that sins cannot be covered by the blood of bulls and goats? But with the blood of Christ. Amen. Who tasted death for every man. That's something. Amen. That is beautiful. Christ died for you. I remember when I really, because I'd been taught this in Sunday school, but it didn't impress me very much. I didn't really live by most anything that I read or was taught in Sunday school that much. But there at 20 years old, and a friend of mine had died in my place on my truck on my run. He was blown up. Bless your heart. I began to think, where would I be? Where would I be? You know something? I needed a Savior. I needed somebody to forgive my sins. Well, there's plenty of priests that'll go around and say, your sins are forgiven. But by the way, there are no priests like that that can forgive your sins. It's only Jesus that can forgive sins. And that's what you have in this New Testament. This power of an endless life. Verse 18 talks about the law and the religion as weakness and unprofitable. The law made nothing perfect. If you could keep the law now, it would not make you perfect. It wouldn't repay for all the selfishness that you've had in all of your life. And it certainly, you wouldn't keep it very long. If you read the Ten Commandments, have you read the two commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you do, you know you don't keep them. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Have you ever done anything with all your heart? You love God? I don't think you do. I don't think you love Him that much. I've loved my wife, I love my children, I've loved my job, I've loved preaching, I've loved a whole lot of things. It wasn't all loving God. And how about my neighbors and myself? Man, that one beats me to death. No, I look at what you have and want it. I would like to have that. Oh, yeah, that's a good thing. I would like to have that. I'm not so happy that you got it. I would sort of like to have it. Isn't that you? Am I talking to people that are here? Are you real? Well, then what you know is that the law is weak. And why is it weak? It's a weak because of sinful man. It's weak because of you. And because of every other person born on the face of the earth. The weakness of selfishness. Now that little baby that he was talking about going to bless your marriage. It's going to take your sleep. It's going to interrupt your time. It's going to demand attention all the time. You don't believe it? I had five, I know. Now, I did not wake up with my five. My wife had super sensitive hearing, and I don't know how she heard it because I never heard it. She heard every little squeal that came out of them. I didn't walk the floor at nights with mine. My wife did. But I'll tell you the truth. That was a very selfish baby. Every one of them. See that guy over there? He's selfish. See him right there? He's selfish. Now my three girls that are gone, they're all selfish. Let me tell you something about you. You're selfish. You're selfish, aren't you? Can you admit it? Well, that's the base root of all sin. You look at the sin. Somebody wants something, and it doesn't matter that anybody else likes it or not. It's terrible. So, the law made nothing perfect. But what does verse 19 say? Hebrews 7:19. Look at this verse. The law made nothing perfect. Get it in your head. I know people right now that are going back and trying to revive Judaism. They're trying to combine Judaism and Christianity. There's Christian churches in the country right now that are doing that. And people think, oh, they've got the answer. They've got it. They don't have the answer. This was a shadow. It says, but the bringing in of a better hope did. What's that hope? We draw nigh to God with Jesus Christ as our priest. And in verse 22, he's the surety of a better testament. You know what a testament is? Here just recently, I wrote out a new testament in my house for Lindell Kincaid. The one I had before Verlene died was done when I was a teacher in school by a lawyer who couldn't get a job and was teaching school, and so he, for $25, he made me out a will. It lasted a long time up until Verlene's death. Now then, since Verlene died, I needed a new will. Now what happens with the New Testament? The new will and testament negates all before it. So I did my will, what I wanted to do, and I mailed it to all five of my kids. But that was a New Testament. What we have is a New Testament here. It's a better testament. We have it by a priest that will never die, a priest after the order of Melchizedek that no man ever ordered. And it's a better testament. Many priests were not suffered to continue because they died. They were good men. They were great men. Look at chapter 8 and verse 1. If you were looking through the book and you wanted to know what are they trying to teach me in the book, it says, this is the Son. Now, the things I've been talking about, this is the Son. That's the finish. That's, we have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty of the heavens, a ministry of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. What is this New Testament? Well, God has a testament and a will and a new message. And the message is Jesus Christ died in your place, paid the debt for your sins, tasted death for every man, and he will save any man that calls upon him and asks for mercy. Amen. That's the word of grace, and that's where a place you ought to go boldly. You ought to run to get there. You ought to speed. No, maybe you might get a ticket. But you ought to get there anyway, as fast as you can. If you're not saved, if you don't know that Jesus Christ is paying for your sins today, where are you going to go if you die? There's no other payment. There's no other payment. I don't care how many priests tell you your sins are forgiven. Then no man can do that. Bible tells you several times that no man can do that. Jesus said, in fact, at one place that they let this boy down through the roof. And he said, sons, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the Jewish righteous people that were with him were thinking, why, who can he do that? He said, well, if you think it's a little easier, well, just pick up your bed and go out. To let you know that I have power on earth to forgive sins. Jesus is the power to forgive sins. Jesus paid the way. Jesus paid the debt. Jesus shed his blood. He died on Calvary's tree. And while he's hanging on that cross, he looks down at a thief who's dying a just punishment and said, thou shalt be with me today in paradise. Wow. Wow. That is such a beautiful thing. The law is an example and a shadow. Verse 6 of chapter 8. Now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Well, he's saying the Old Testament covenant is not as good as the new one. It's what he's telling you. It's a comparison of them. And he says in verse 7, look at this. If that first covenant had been faultless. What? The first covenant is not faultless. You need the New Testament to be faultless. Not the first one. For if that first covenant had been faultless, should be no place sought for a second. Verse 11, Christ being come and high priest of good things to come. Hey, you know what the future looks like to a Christian? To a person whose sins are paid for by Jesus Christ? Looks great. Absolutely great. Are you all so righteous that you're going to heaven? No, you're not. You're going to heaven on the merits of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to heaven because I've preached the gospel for 64 years. I'm not going to heaven because I've been in church most of the time for that time. I'm not going to heaven because I won a few people to Christ or that I'm good. No, I would like to be good. It would be nice to be good. I ought to be good. I have to confess I'm not good just about every day. How about you? Are you so righteous that you don't need any help? You don't have any sins to pay for? Do you think some goats and calves' blood's going to pay for your sins? The Bible says it's not possible. It's not possible. In this book of Hebrews, Paul tells us it's not possible for the blood of goats and cows to pay for sins. You need the blood of Jesus Christ. The only righteous man that could be, God himself in the flesh, dies and pays a debt for your sins. You need his substitutionary death. If you don't have it, you have absolutely no hope. I've heard people say, told it to me, when I get to heaven, I'm going to tell God. I know a few big boys that you better not tell them right here on this earth, much less talking about God. There's some tough brutes down here that you might ought to keep your mouth shut when you're around them. Depends on where you live, I understand. What about God? Now you think about God. Maybe you don't like to think about God, but I think about God all the time.
I think about this world. I think about the wonders of electricity. Do you realize all the thousands of years nobody knew anything about that? I got a house heated and lighted, cooled, all of it because I got some copper wire running into my house from somewhere. You understand it all? What is it we don't know? There's lots of things that we don't even know. How complicated is this great universe? I was sitting in the doctor's office. Every October I get an eye exam for they're looking for diabetes in my eyes. And I was waiting on the doctor, and here's this placard up there. Beautifully done, well done. All of the intricacies of the human eye. Do you realize there's a lots of animal eyes out there that are completely different? Insect eyes, completely different. How intricate, how complicated is the creation? And I know educated people that believe it happened as an accident. That's stupidity. That is voluntary stupidity. You wouldn't believe that if we have a piece of typed paper in front of you. Oh, it just happened. Just come out of the blue. No, you wouldn't do it. Well, you ought to look around. This is a very complicated world. Look at some of these animal programs on television. They've got some beautiful ones. Man, do they describe all of these different animals living together and eating one another and escaping from one another and all of that. It's beautiful and it's tremendous. And then I think about us. You got a brain. You got an intelligence. You know certain things have taken place. And God Almighty has created this wonderful world just so far from a small star of the sun. Just so far. Too much closer, we'd all burn up. Too much further away, we'd all freeze to death. Day and night. Why do you have to sleep? I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. But it's a complicated structure of this great creation. And what Hebrews is telling you here is that we have a great high priest with an endless life that has given his life for every man's sin. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. That means you can be saved. I've actually walked in prisons and visited with people. And I've talked to people that are just guilty of terrible sins. And you know what I could do? I could say, Jesus Christ can forgive your sins. Now the parents of that girl that you killed may not ever be able to forgive you. But Jesus Christ can forgive your sins. If you'll call upon the name of Jesus Christ, He can forgive your sins. If you don't have enough sense to believe the message of the gospel, we have a great high priest. We have a great religion. We have a great, great grace. It's so big, it can include you. Every single one of you in here, I can tell you the truth. If you will call upon Jesus Christ, believe that He died in your place and that He's going to have mercy upon you, He'll forgive you right now. He'll give you eternal life today. Wow. Tremendous. The Bible in Hebrews chapter 10 says, the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never make with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Why would you have to keep offering the same sacrifices every day, every year, hundreds of years? No.
For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Verse 7. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I come to do thy will, O God. That's what Jesus came for. To do the will. Verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. If they tell you that when you're taking the Lord's Supper, you're actually sacrificing the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, they lie. It didn't happen three times. It doesn't happen every week. It happened one time. And that one sacrifice for sins forever paid your debt completely. What a gift. That's great grace, I want you to know. Notice something else. Verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. You don't look perfect to me. I don't look perfect to you. But before the court of God in heaven, my sins are gone. I've got the righteousness of Jesus Christ applied to my account. That is a great grace. Not only grace, a great grace. That God would give that to you. Now in verse 18 of the same chapter, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. One time. In the end of time. And it's sufficient to cover the rest of eternity. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? That's a wonderful grace. Verse 22 says, let us draw near. Draw near to whom? God. So you can escape. We have a better mediator. We have a better prophet. We have a better priest. We have a better sacrifice. We have a better advocate to plead your case. That's a very great salvation. With great grace. Remember, no matter how it's preached to you, salvation is never a reward. Salvation is a gift. And it's given freely. We have an advocate, one that pleads the cause. Seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he's near. We've got a God. It has a lot of pardon. Amen. He can pardon your soul today. Lord, take your word and touch it to the heart of an unbeliever and let him come to Christ. Let him trust you. Great grace. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Come back tonight.